Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today's Friday, July 3rd, 2026, and we're reading in the big book. We're in Waiting Gnostics again, page 49, the second paragraph, starting with, "We who have traveled this dubious path," and we're ending with, "which we should have sought ourselves." Our readers for today. So for the steps, we have Elizabeth B. The traditions, Amory M. First reader is Jane F. Page 164 is Devora S. Newcomer greeter, Susan S. H. And our second hour host is Robin L. We share our IDs for yesterday, Thursday, July 2nd, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 23,598. So that's 23,598. The 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,599. 23,599. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is the fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And Elizabeth B. is going to share the 12 steps of OA with us.
Hello, good morning. This is Elizabeth B., and these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people, wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 12, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Pass.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Next up is Anne-Marie M. with the 12 traditions.
Okay, the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Thus, problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. So anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks, Anne Marie. Thanks, Elizabeth. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in a big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we resume our study in We Agnostics, page 49, that second paragraph. We who have traveled this dubious path, ending with, which we should have sought ourselves. And Jane S. is going to be our first reader. Start us off and share.
Yes, good morning, everybody. My name is Jane S., as in Sparky, and I'm grateful to say that I'm a recovered compulsive overeater just for today. Thanks for letting me be of service. So, we who have traveled this dubious path beg you to lay aside prejudice, even against organized religion. We've learned that whatever the human frailties of various faiths may be, those faiths have given purpose and direction to millions. People of faith have a logical idea of what life is all about. Actually, we used to have no reasonable conception whatever. We used to amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting spiritual beliefs and practices when we might have observed that many spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness which we should have sought ourselves. Wow. So what this paragraph means to me is the words that stuck out to me are lay aside prejudice. That's what I had to do, and it took me years of keeping on coming back to Overeaters Anonymous. I had to put down the booze first and the drugs, all other drugs but food. I didn't see that food really was a drug for me. And I had to lay aside all my prejudice, which was preconceived judgments of all of you, how you did your program, what you believed. And I always thought to myself, well, I'm not that bad, you know, and I would identify myself out. And I did that for over 15 years. And 2 years ago, on July 1st, I came back. I came crawling back. My outside life looked pretty darn good, actually. My weight wasn't too bad. I was better than I used to be. I had done some things, and I was leaning in some ways, and I'd let go some of my prejudices, but I really had not fully surrendered to God, and I had not ceased fighting everyone and everything. I was still trying to do it on my own, and I still was trying to, you know, just not to, I couldn't take the suggestions. I could not take them. I was going to try to figure it out myself. I'll be darned. And, so I let go with both hands. And I surrendered fully. And I asked a sponsor, I said the words that used to grind me when I would hear them, like I had to do these steps, like my hair was on fire. And I actually asked the woman if she would sponsor me. And I said, I need to do these steps like my hair is on fire. And you know, that's what I did. And in the first few steps, as I was working those steps, I had to look at my prejudice and what was holding me back and my judgments and my critique of other people, not just in this program, but in life in general. And it gave me such a freedom. It's now taken me to a place where I know, and my sponsor and all of you on a daily basis, everybody I listen to and meet in life has helped me to put my hand in the hand of God. I feel safe and protected today because I do the work. I've already surrendered my life and my will this morning over to God. I've accepted who I am. I'm an addict to the core. I'm a real compulsive overeater. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a lot of things. And that's okay. And I don't have to prejudge. I don't have to have preconceived notions and judgments of other people, including myself. When I wrote out my ideals, I tried to simplify it, and I try to live in the halt today. The halt for me today is honesty, acceptance, love, and tolerance of myself and others, right where we are on our journey just for today, and to try to live in the present, listen for God's nudges. And when I am judgmental and prejudiced about something or being agnostic about something, God brings it to my attention pretty quickly today.
Sure.
Thank you. I'm just more aware today. I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful to be of service, and I pass.
Thanks, Jane S., and I believe you're from New Hampshire, right? Correct? All right.
Yes, I am from New Hampshire. Thank you.
All right, cool. Thank you. All right, now we're going to open up the lines for sharing. And although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back, allow others to partake in a meeting and get a chance to share. So I'll need your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling in from. Please, one at a time. Pretty, please. Pretty, please.
Riska R. Ygia.
Gotcha. Hold
Rick
on.
Rick
J. Ygia E. from Maryland.
Okay, hold on. One second. Riska
Ygia,
yep.
Rory B.
Hold on, Rick J. Who was it again?
Lori B. South Carolina.
Ken W. A.
Ken, my man.
Monica
T.
Joe P. from Georgia.
All right, hold on. There was someone before Monica T.
Laurel B.
Laurel, that's how it was. I know I heard that. Someone else. There was someone
Nancy
after.
P. Joe P. from Georgia.
Nancy C. And that's Joe P. from Georgia. Nancy's from Michigan. We know that. Let's get it. One more. Okay, maybe not. All right. So we got Rivka R, Ygia E, Rick J, Lori B, Ken WH, Laurel B, Monica T, Nancy C, and Joe P. I just missed a couple from states. So if you just let me know where you're calling in from. Rivka, you're up.
Hi, good morning. It's Rivka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore, Maryland. Thanks, Russ, for your service, and Jane, for your lead share, and I love your words for halt. That's wonderful. So what jumped out at me in this paragraph is the sentence, spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness. And I noticed it doesn't say specifically religious persons. You know, as a Jew, I can keep the laws of kosher and observe the Sabbath, and, you know, because I believe that's God's will for my soul, and still not be spiritually minded. Spiritually minded to me means I care. I care to seek the truth. I care to seek a relationship with my Creator. I care to be consciously aware of my Creator in my life, because my Creator is existing me. If that's a word, that's reality. The eternal source of life and blessing is continuously enlivening me every second. And the proof is, if God withdraws the life force in me, my body would not be able to exist anymore. You know, I'm not a separate entity. And if my Creator is infinite, then my Creator has infinite care for me and cares what I do and what I eat and how I eat and what I'm saying and the choices I'm making. A few days ago, I found my 3-year-old grandson walking on the dining room table, you know, and with his shoes on. And I took him off and I said, "We don't stand on the table with shoes on." And he said, "I don't care." And I said, "Well, it doesn't matter if you don't care. Those are the rules in my house." And afterwards, I thought, what an interesting thing to say, "I don't care." Like, when you say "I don't care," you're really dismissing the importance of something. And I understand, you know, that that's a product of his immature brain and it's a projection of his ego. But then I realized that my disease works through those same words. "I don't care." Like, I don't care if these are the rules. I don't care if I'm going to hurt myself or others. I don't care what the consequences are. I don't care to seek the truth of God. And the truth is, God really wants me to care. You know, the eternal source of life and blessings, and which is what I mean when I say God, you know, wants me to care enough to pursue a relationship specifically in this world where my Creator is so hidden that I can even think I'm an agnostic. Because when I truly care enough, even if it's initially just because I'm just so hopeless, you know, then I can surrender my ego. I can get to essence, who I truly am. And that only comes from caring to know God better, which only this program has helped me with, no matter how religious I am. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. And I will pass. Thanks. Have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you, Rivka. Next up is Wygia, followed by Rick J.
Hi, this is Wygia in Maryland, recovered. You know, coming back to program about 2.5 years ago, wasn't that, but I decided that to lose weight, because it was I am a professional at that, I would get a dietitian. And I found one. And I paid out of pocket. My insurance wouldn't take it. And all I wanted this woman to do was make a food plan for me. And she did, but I couldn't cut out that creamer. And she said, "Well, you know, Gia, that's a, no. Just do the food part. I got this creamer part." Because this dubious path that I traveled before, I released weight before. And she didn't know about it. And she wasn't a program person. She just didn't know that I can handle this sugar. But the truth is, if I'm allergic to sugar, I'm allergic to sugar. If I'm allergic to sweeteners, I'm allergic to those sweeteners. It didn't matter whether I read them on the first line, they were the fifth ingredient, the 30th ingredient. I just couldn't have them. And it took me a year later to even get back to program. But this chapter, we, so no, I'm not alone, who have traveled this dubious path. Dubious sounds like a pretty word to me. Like, why would alcoholics or compulsive eaters be anywhere near dubious? My whole point, I didn't think in sponsoring, I'm just going to skip through the agnostics. Like, you know, everybody has a God, they should, they'll believe in something. I don't know anything about God, so we'll go through this chapter quickly. And sorry about that. And the truth is, we did not. And I finally, after over 20 years, had to find a God that was not a, let's just say, I came back to program thinking, here we go. Everybody in program talks about the higher power, my spiritual, I felt my God. I'm going to have to come back in the program and act like, you know, everybody's religious. Like, how the hell did that happen? But the truth is, that dubious path, I chose to really walk this time. And this paragraph only, we have traveled this dubious path, beg of you. No one has ever begged me to do anything. I've never begged. People don't beg. It's just a word that's not pretty. It's like dubious. But the truth is, beg is only in this big book twice. The word beg is only in our big book two times. And that led me wow, these people really care about me. These two men cared about each other. So I care about my fellows now and people that are coming into these rooms. Travel this dubious path with us. Beg in this big book is written twice just to show you we can do this. This is a we program. You don't really have to beg from us. Hang out with us, and we'll take you down this dubious path. And we're not specialists either. You know, we have slips and falls, but we do this together. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Right there. Thank you, IG. Next up is Rick J., followed by Lori B.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Good morning, everybody. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And I love listening to the shares, love this paragraph. And, you know, with my own experience with this, you know, I really was one of those people who was laser focused on, you know, the frailties of various faiths, the human frailties of various faiths. Because, you know, it's like we're all people, and, you know, religion is made up of people believing a certain way, a common thing, right? And, but I would always judge the people, not so much the religion, but, you know, it started blending together after a while, and it came to where I could not hear the language of religion without recoiling as if from a hot plane. And interestingly enough, the more open-minded I became by the help of the people who had gone through the same journey as that I was struggling with, were teaching me that open-mindedness, you know, led them to a belief in something bigger than they were, setting aside religion, setting aside everything they thought they knew. And that's what I started doing. I started setting aside everything I knew, whatever my experience was. And the more willing I became to just focus on the degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness that I saw in people who were living this spiritual-minded lifestyle became attractive to me. And that's what I try to do now, you know. And for anybody struggling, it's just about being open-minded. And my experience is the more open-minded I became, the more of connection to this, the reality of connection to something bigger than I was that I really couldn't understand kept manifesting itself in beautiful ways. And it continues on to this day. It's been a long journey. And now if someone is speaking the language of the heart sprinkled in with the language of religion, I can set aside that and know that that's a beautiful thing for them, therefore it's a beautiful thing for me. I don't have to be less than, you know, or greater than. It's just a shared experience in someone's spiritual journey. And it's a beautiful way to just live one day at a time. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Rick. Appreciate it. And next up is Lori B., followed by Ken W.H.
Good morning. It's Lori B. from South Carolina. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you for the meeting. Thank you, Jane, for the reading. 5 weeks ago today, I got the courage, finally, to lay aside my prejudice, and I asked for a sponsor on this line. And I'm grateful to say that as of this morning at 5:30, I was doing my fifth step, and it is only by the grace of God and vision and listening to you all that I have the courage to speak up and to move forward in this process. I had no idea. I've been seeking God for decades, and I had no idea that I've been living so agnostically around food. And I had no idea that God was the solution to what crippled me with food. So it is really with a grateful heart, and I'm still amazed that all I had to do was lay down my armor and ask for help and follow some simple instructions. And today I'm walking a life that feels like that really wasn't possible for the last 30 years. I love the last sentence that says, demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness. And God, what more could I really want for my life and for the people around me than to have a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness? So I'm beyond grateful for vision. You've kept me alive while I've been lurking in the dark corners for the last few years. And today I have laid aside my prejudice, and I do believe that I too can have what so many of you have on this line, which is recovery. So thank you for letting me share.
All right, Lori B., thank you. And before Ken WH jumps up, let me let you know where we're at. We are on page 49, and we agnostics, the second paragraph starting with, we who have traveled this dubious path, ending with, which we should have sought ourselves. All right, Ken WH, you are up, brother.
Hey, what do you say, Russ? Good morning. Glad to be here. Ken WH, recovered compulsive overeater from North Carolina. I grew up in a particular faith group and loved to sing and sang all the songs that go along with historical Christianity and all of that stuff. I just loved to sing. Did I take in the words that I was singing? No, but I just loved to sing. And the music was just terrific from the great masters. But I didn't take it in. I didn't really pay attention so much to the words as just enjoying the beauty of the music. And today I can still enjoy the beauty of the music, and I can also enjoy the beauty of the language of faith, no matter what direction it comes from. And I consider that a true blessing in my life. And that's a part of recovery. That's a part of my letting go of my need to know. I've come to believe that I know that I know when I know that I don't know everything there is to know about God, faith, spirituality, all of that. Now, I need to be careful. I don't want to get on to preaching here now, but... I have just come to believe over time. I've been given the gift of belief, frankly. I didn't have it. I didn't know how to put it together. But I've been given that gift by this power that just would not let me go. In spite of my wanting to go where I wanted to go, when I wanted to go, this power would not let me go. And eventually just grabbed me by the nape of the neck like a loving mother cat and said, Ken, you're coming with me. Let's go. I have a plan for you that you won't believe. And I needed to let go. I had needed to open my claw and let go of what I was holding on to and just let that power be. It's about a power greater than myself that solves my problem. That's what this book is about. That's what I understand it's about, and that's what I understand my life to be about now, is to deepen that relationship with this power greater than myself that has solved my problem with food. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Russ, for your great service.
Thank you, Ken. All right. Next up is Laurel B., followed by Monica T.
Hi, I'm Laurel B., compulsive overeater from Wakanda, Illinois. Thanks for your service, Russ. Really appreciate it. My faith in religion may not be the same as everyone else's, but I'm not here to judge what other people believe. On page 46, it says that the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, and all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek it. It is open to, we believe, to all men. So here it states that spiritually minded persons of all races, colors, and creeds were demonstrating stability, happiness, and usefulness. I feel it's just important that I make God the hero of my story and not myself. As long as I have a higher power and I know it's not me, I can recover and be stable, happy, and useful. And I just want to say that I celebrated 5 years of freedom from compulsive overeating yesterday. And yay, God, I give him all the credit. And it's been helpful to be on this line for the past 5 years and have a sponsor and fellows in the program. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
All right, Laurel. Thanks a lot. Next up is Monica T, followed by Nancy C.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. My name is Monica T. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Florida, presently in Vermont. So here we are in chapter We Agnostic. My subtitle for that is We, or I, Without Knowledge. I'm missing something. I don't know everything. I didn't come in here on a high note. You know, I came in here in pain, desperation, depressed, not knowing what to do. And so with this chapter here, I'm missing something. You know, I don't know what I don't know, and I can't see what I can't see. And here we are, we who have traveled. You know, we, the first 100 recovered alcoholics, have traveled this path of dubious, uncertain path. And I've got a little added in there, of doubt. Beg, and like was already said, beg's only used 2 times in the big book by the first 100. They're begging us. The other one will be found on page 58 in How It Works, the other beg. So lay aside prejudice. And I love Joe and Charlie's definition for prejudice, my old ideas. So the first 100 who have blazed this path, who tried everything, you know, we're real good at trying the loopholes and looking for loopholes and everything. They're asking us, try not to do that. We've already figured this out and it works. You want to, you know, how's your way working for you, Monica? You know, it wasn't working very good. So in this chapter up until now, they've been trying to get us to lay aside our old ideas, to look at things a little differently. You know, they talked about electricity, how we can't see it. I don't understand it, but I have no issue with using it. Why can't I use this same type of thinking with the God idea? And then they talk about the prosaic steel girder, prosaic, ordinary, lifeless, and a girder is a steel beam. You know those great, big, huge, long steel beams that they made the Empire State Building with? You look at one of those babies and it looks like, man, that is solid and strong, one piece. But if you were to look at it with a an electronic microscope, you would see that what you think it looks like isn't really what it is actually there. Well, can you use this kind of thinking with other things, with the God thing? That there's forces out there I can't see, but they're happening. And, you know, I've been in the program a long time. And I still can't define God. I don't know what God is. I don't see him. I can't feel him. I can't touch him. But all I can say is I cannot deny that a power greater than me has been helping me and working me all these years. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Monica. Next up is Nancy C., followed by Joe P.
Hey, Russ. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Nancy C., gratefully recovered this morning in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And boy, what a great meeting. Jane, thank you for your lead share. And this word prejudice, man, I didn't see this for a long time when I was reading the big book, and I didn't understand the word. I had a very narrow view growing up of only having one prejudice. I didn't see anything else as having a prejudicial mind. And as I've come to believe in my recovery and I start getting to know a God of my understanding who loves me, not that preconceived notion that that prejudice that I had about a Catholic God who was, you know, I was doomed. So why would I even look at this chapter? Because it wasn't going to work for me. But today I realized that it does say, somebody pointed out, spiritual. Look at the spiritual, not the religion. You know, I looked at people, like other people have said, with religion and associated the religion with the people, not with the religion or the belief in that. And today, that broad highway of just letting everyone believe what they believe, and it is fine because we're all children of God and we're all trying to do the next right thing. But the important thing I wanted to share today is my fixed ideas and my prejudices limit me every day because I think I know better than God. And I have to open my mind, that set aside prayer, set aside everything I think I know, for an open mind and a new experience so that I can better see the truth and have a new experience. When I can have that attitude in the morning, I truly am open to lay aside those prejudices and see the world as it is, not as Nancy has it. You know, I have a file cabinet that has preconceived notions up and down the aisles that if I choose to follow them, I'm in trouble for the rest of the day. But if I can really say, pause and ask God for that intuitive thought or what's really real, what's not in my memory bank, my life goes much better. So my prejudices I have to put down every day with every thought about every person, place, thing, being, it doesn't matter, and have that open mind. And when I do, God, do I have a great day with you guys, and conversations are rich and beautiful, and the world may be all messed up, but it still is God's design, and I have to honor that and believe that he is doing for me what I can't do for myself, and he knows better than my little fixed ideas and my little manufacturing mind that I'm in charge, and with that I pass.
Thank you, Nance. Next up is Joe P., and then we'll take another list.
Hi, this is Joe P. from Georgia. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I have always been prejudiced against those who were religious and organized religion. I thought they were fanatics. I thought they were lunatics for believing in a God that could fix all their problems. I especially had difficulty in those who talked the talk but did not walk the walk. And I have come to learn through doing the steps that they were just not aligned with God, with their God. And I now believe in a higher power, and I have surrendered to God, and that is all possible, and that all is possible with God. And I am a child of God. I have God's spirit in me and through me, and all is possible. I now talk the talk and walk the walk. And with that, I pass.
All right. Thank you, Joe. So we are in Wii Gnostics, page 49, that second paragraph. And we're reading that paragraph. We who have traveled the dubious path, ending with which we should have sought ourselves. And I thought we could take four more.
Liz S.
Amalia.
Larry K.
Liz
Jessica
S.
C. Roz G.
Okay, honey, Liz. All right, I'm sorry, Hanayeta. Yeah, I got Jessica. I got Liz. I got Jessica, Larry. And there was one before Liz, after Liz S. I think it's Amalia. Is that right?
Amalia.
Amalia. All right. So we got 1, 2, 3. We got these four. I'm sorry, everybody else. Sorry about that. Hopefully we can get through these. So Liz S., you're up.
Thank you, Russ. Thanks for your service. Liz S., in Oregon, recovered compulsive eater. I'm a scientist and a lawyer. And, you know, both of those things have a bad rep. But it does help me pull things apart and then put them together in a different way. And what I was compelled to do when a friend of mine pointed out that I could live a better life with faith, that in her belief, it didn't matter whether there was a power greater than yourself or not. She was in program, in her belief. And that this was a better way to live, to be stable and to be useful and to be happy. And regardless of whether there was a higher power or not, this life was better. And at that point in my recovery, I think it was about 7 years ago, that's what I could hold on to, that very practical advice. It's better if you have faith. And I held on to it, and I held on to it, and it has grown, and how I have faith has grown. But sometimes people will take a starting place, no matter where it is, and will grow. And I appreciate that in this program, there's room to grow, and there's room to start in different places. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
All right, Liz, thank you. Next up is Amalia M.
Hi, I'm Amalia M. from Maryland. I'm actually up in Vermont right now. When I read the words, I heard the words, amuse ourselves by cynically dissecting, it reminded me of a few years ago when I was maybe very full of myself. And I would say, oh, I don't need to be a practicing Catholic. I'm good enough. I don't need to practice anymore. And I was really, you know, I wasn't really being funny. I was being prideful and probably inconsiderate in doing that. The other thing that jumped out was the dubious, traveling a dubious path, an uncertain hesitation, suspicious path. I'd rather travel a path of uncertainty, of certainty and worthiness, but we are where we are. So thanks for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Thank you, Amelia. Next up is Jessica C., followed by Larry K.
Did you call on Jessica C., Russ?
Yep.
Okay. I was unmuting. Okay. Hi, thanks. So Jessica C., recovered compulsive overeater in Ontario, Canada. Yeah, I can really relate to this paragraph. I was raised in a certain faith, and I did develop a prejudice towards that faith because I felt a rejection. My parents weren't married. They didn't get married until I was in my 30s. And one of the, rules of that faith that I was raised in is that people should get married, especially if they're having kids. There was actual rejection happening too. So my answer to that was to become prejudiced and become, I guess, hardened and critical and to look for the inconsistencies, like, hey, why are these people saying this? Saying that they believe in love.
but I'm not feeling very loved. And I would find other people who thought the way that I thought, and we would sort of become, we would feel superior to that faith. And that almost felt like an answer, you know, to that rejection. But that's not an answer. That's not an answer to become hardened and critical. And that mindset certainly never helped me with my compulsive eating or my, you know, my alcoholic thinking, my unmanageability. So, you know, when I realized that I was totally powerless when it comes to compulsive eating, and I tried every single solution multiple times, and I put my health at severe risk with the things I was doing, I had to really lay aside all of that prejudice and all of that rejection. And there, you know, there was I was dishonest, because when I think about that time, there were people in the church who, despite the rules, were really kind to me and my family, and you know, made us feel welcomed. So, you know, I see that now, but I think most importantly, I had to lay aside all of that prejudice and say, okay, God, I don't know why that had to happen in the past, but I got to put my faith in you, because nothing else is working with this horror of my compulsive eating. And what happened was, is that God removed it from me. He removed that compulsive eating. And when I did work the steps in entire abstinence, and slowly over time, the unmanageability is also getting removed. So, you know, despite probably a flawed surrender and still hanging on to some prejudice, you know, it wasn't a perfect surrender to God when I worked the steps. God, in His grace, removed that from me. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. Next up is Larry K. And I think we'll be... Larry, you're up.
Hey, Russ, thanks. Thanks for the reminder that they'll let anybody moderate these meetings. But good morning, everybody. Larry K. Recovered in Chicago. So for me, part of my prejudice was, you know, I had to overcome the notion of hypocrisy in those who proclaim religion, you know, and to overcome that notion of religious hypocrisy, I mean, that's nothing new. Bill dealt with the same thing. What I had to be able to do, and you guys in program helped me to do that, is to stop measuring truth by the flawed behaviors of believers. You know, stop measuring the worth of this program by the flawed behavior in human beings that reside here. You know, maybe I could evaluate the sort of the core teachings of, let's say, a faith independently. You know, focus on the message rather than the messengers. You know, realizing that all people struggle with failure. All people do. And the word hypocrite, it's an ancient Greek word. It means actor. It means wearing a mask. And you know, I need to remember that some people, maybe it's me at times, certainly was, you know, that they wear a quote unquote religious mask or a recovery mask to look good in public. This doesn't mean that the faith itself is false, that the program is false. And it gives me an understanding of human nature. You know, I think of a hospital. You know, a hospital right now is full of sick people. And in the same way, religion is full of broken people trying to get better. The recovery rooms are broken people trying to get better. And the failures are proof that humans need help, not that the program's wrong or that religion itself is bad. You know, and there's diversity. You know, there's diversity in this community, and I'm thank goodness there is. Boy, am I glad for that. So I set aside my prejudice each day and remember we're just people, sick people trying to get well. We're trying to move from a self-centered consciousness to an other higher power-centered consciousness, and it works. With that, I pass. Thanks, Russ.
All right, there. Thanks, buddy. So I think we could take two more shares, actually. So I got Roz G, and there was someone else there. Who else would like to share that was trying to get on that list? We could do two more. Two minute shares.
Hanietta.
Yeah, that's right. Hanietta and Roz. So I'll give Roz another second.
Okay, Russ. I mean, hey, I was like,
you got it.
Forget it.
Nah, go ahead. Okay. Go ahead. You got two minutes, Roz. Right.
You caught me in a... Here I am. I'm Roz G, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm just waking up. So, thank you. I just want to say that I'm thank you God for my recovery. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I came into this meeting with into Overeaters Anonymous with a lot of prejudice about people who didn't believe the same way as I do. I did. I don't like to admit that, but you know, after working with so many different people over the years. And the most intimate relationships I've had with sponsees who didn't believe as I did, or sponsors who didn't believe as I did, you know, just had different religious bodies that they belonged to. They had something that I wanted. They still do. People everywhere in this people in this meeting that have what I want, whether they believe or not, that they're living by spiritual principles and they're following the what the big book tells them to do. And they are the most faithful people and kind and spiritual that I've ever met. And I just simply want to follow their recovery. And so I don't have any prejudice against those people anymore like I used to. And I just thank God that I have so many different friends throughout Overeaters Anonymous and that we just simply want the same thing. We're on that Titanic. We're in that lifeboat. And we just want to get to the shore of recovery and help anyone who else wants to be there. So you caught me, Russ. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Roz. Appreciate it. All right, Hanietta, you're up. You got 2 minutes.
Okie dokie. Thank you. I'm Hanietta R. from Plano, Texas. I want to welcome all the newcomers. Whether you say your name or not, I'm so glad you're here. Don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle. I wanted to talk about the word dubious because I didn't know what dubious meant. And I looked it up and it's something causing uncertainty, doubt, or suspicion. And I would have never thought it meant that. I thought it meant probably almost the opposite of that. And so I was very intrigued. I was like, whoa. So we didn't have, so I thought, anyway, the dubious, and even in where it says dubious luxury of other men, and I say women, but I don't know, it gives me a whole different perspective of what they were saying. And, I don't know if anybody else didn't know what it meant. Probably everybody did, but I don't know. You caught me off guard, too, kind of. But I just want to say I'm so grateful. Oh, July 15th, not too long from now, in case I forget, I'll be in this in program for 45 years. And I'm so grateful to all those years, even though I wasn't abstinent all that time. But I have worked on recovery that whole time, and I love the program, and I do things different today. Today, I actually do the 11th step every day, and I do 10 steps, and I didn't ever do that before I came into the Vision for You meeting, who really puts most people put, you know, some real emphasis on that, that if you don't do those, then you will fail, and maybe that's the reason
time.
Why I fail, because thank you. Anyway, I love you guys. Have a great day. Have a good Shabbos if you celebrate. Anyway, bye.
Thanks, Hanietta. You are last share, and thank you everyone who shared and everybody who did service today. we're not doing it without the service. And thanks for bearing with my moderating. So let me give you today's share ID. Today's share ID for Friday, July 3rd, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. 23,602. 23,602. Now we're going to close with reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Dvorah is going to read A Vision for You. A book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you till then, and then we'll pray the Serenity Prayer.
Hi, good morning, and thank you, Russ, for your service. Thank you, everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. My name is Dvorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We apologize. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until